Welcome to the September 2025 News Bulletin podcast for Yacht and Small Craft Marine Surveyors, put together by the International Institute of Marine Surveying. Dear member and fellow maritime professional, over the past year, IAMS has trained several hundred members, and some non-members, at various locations around the world, both face-to-face and online, in a variety of marine surveying topics. That is a remarkable statistic and achievement. Training is an integral part of what the Institute does, and we are proud of the lead we take in surveyor education. On top of that, there has been strong educational demand in 2025. Over 200 students are currently enrolled for the distance learning IAMS professional qualifications in small craft and commercial ship marine surveying. Training and education are right at the heart of what we do. So, against this backdrop, I am delighted to formally announce that at the end of July, IAMS launched its on-demand training portal. With the continuous development of technology, the ways to train and learn have changed beyond recognition. This new, innovative portal marks a step change in the learning opportunities for marine surveyors. My colleagues and I have spent an intense 18 months behind the scenes working with software developers and content providers. The Institute, which is ISO 9001 certified for training services in marine surveying, is proud to present its significant new learning platform in association with EDOT Solutions. It is set to transform the way a marine surveyor learns and develops new skills and acquires fresh knowledge. The portal already boasts over 130 training modules, and more will be added as we expand our material and content. It's a great and easy way to learn in your own time, in your own way, and at your own pace. It's free to sign up for the new training portal and browse the available courses and units with no obligation. You do not need to be an IAMS member to take advantage of the IAMS on-demand training portal. It's available for all to access at trainingportal.iams.org.uk. The Report Magazine September 2025 edition has been published and is available to download and read in both PDF and online e-reader magazine formats. See elsewhere in this bulletin for the links. I thoroughly recommend it to you. As we say goodbye to summer in the North Hemisphere and autumn looms large, we have a busy period ahead in the run-up to year-end. In particular, I'd like to remind you and draw your attention to our ever-popular remote tonnage training event taking place on the 23rd and 24th of September. That's followed in October by the two-day Canada Branch Conference on the 22nd and 23rd of October in Hamilton, Ontario, and, not least, the third iteration of our popular, four-day residential practical surveyor training course, which takes place in early December at Lyme Regis, UK. More details about these events can be found in the news bulletin. Survey well, Mike. Up first, don't miss this opportunity. IAMS rarely offers the chance to learn about tonnage measurements in person. On the 23rd of September from 1500 to 1800, we will present online Part 1, Tonnage Theory Training. This is available to IAMS members and non-members too and provides an essential knowledge base into tonnage measurement. The following day, for those who are available to meet at Itchener Sailing Club in the UK, Part 2 will be delivered. Three boats will be measured under the guidance of experienced IAMS surveyors, who will lead the session. If you are unable to travel to the UK for this face-to-face, you can complete Part 2 remotely by recording and submitting your evidence at your convenience. There's also still time to book onto our Canada 2025 branch conference in Hamilton on the 22nd and 23rd of October. The local committee is pleased to announce a new date for this event, which was postponed earlier this year. Join us in person or online. Find out more at iamscanada.ca. We also have our practical surveying course in Lyme Regis, the UK, between the 1st and 4th of December 2025. Hosted at the Boat Building Academy facilities, IAMS presents the third edition of its popular residential practical surveyor course. There are only 12 spaces, so book early to avoid disappointment. This is an opportunity to be under the guidance and tutelage of three highly experienced, senior marine surveyors as you work alongside them, inspecting and surveying three vessels over 3 days. The morning of day 4 is dedicated to report writing techniques. For more details, visit iaams.org.uk/events. Next, the Norwegian Maritime Authority has issued its accident status for the first half of 2025, noting that a total of 589 incidents on commercial vessels were registered during the first 6 months of the year. According to the authority, of the 589 incidents, 312 are classified as accidents and 277 as near accidents. Cargo ships account for nearly half of all accidents during the period at 46%, followed by fishing vessels at 29% and passenger ships at 24%. There has been an increase in serious incidents such as fires and groundings. Groundings increased significantly, up 54% from 2024 and 21% compared to the five-year average. For our next report, the National Transportation Safety Board highlighted effective placement of smoke and fire detectors following its investigation of a fire aboard a fishing vessel last year near Tatoosh Island, Washington. The Marine Investigation Report said, "Installation of smoke and fire detectors in spaces that are typically uncrewed when underway, such as the engine room, allows for the earliest detection and notification of a fire, maximizing the time for operators to respond to the fire or take actions to abandon the vessel. Vessel operators can improve fire safety by installing detectors in all areas susceptible to fire, such as the engine room and galley, and spaces that contain machinery, hot exhaust tubing, and fuel sources. Additionally, the detectors should be capable of notifying crew members throughout the vessel of fire or smoke and be routinely checked to ensure they're in good working order." The fishing vessel Tarka 2 did not have a smoke or fire detector in the engine room, where a fire broke out on September 2, 2024. The Tarka 2's engine room had a CCTV camera that would have been displayed in the wheelhouse, but it was not in use at the time of the fire. The captain's first indication of a fire was seeing smoke coming from the vessel's exhaust stacks. He likely would have been alerted to the fire sooner with an engine room smoke or fire detector or had the CCTV been operational. The smoke detectors outside the engine room and in the galley did not activate until the captain opened the engine room door. The captain shut down the generator and main engine and noticed a small, smoldering fire near the hydraulic tank and hydraulic pump in the engine room. As the fire intensified, the captain and the crew member abandoned the vessel into a life raft and were rescued by the U.S. Coast Guard. The exact source of the fire could not be determined because the Tarka 2 sank and was not recovered. It was declared a total loss estimated at $460,000. You can download the report at iiamsusa.com. Up next, the U.S. Coast Guard has published its 2024 Recreational Boating Statistics Report. The report records the fewest boating fatalities since the service began collecting statistics more than 50 years ago. Fatalities fell 1.4% to 556 from 564 in 2023, while overall incidents increased by 1.1% from 3,844 to 3,887. Non-fatal injuries increased 2.1% from 2,126 to 2,170. Alcohol continued to be the leading known contributing factor in fatal boating accidents in 2024, accounting for 92 deaths, or 20% of total fatalities. The fatality rate was 4.8 deaths per 100,000 registered recreational vessels, a 2% decrease from last year's rate of 4.9 deaths per 100,000. In 1971, when the Safe Boating Act was first passed, the rate was 20.6 deaths per 100,000. Property damage totaled $88 million, and operator inattention, improper lookout, operator inexperience, machinery failure and navigation rules ranked as the top five primary contributing factors in accidents. Captain Robert Comfer, Inspections and Compliance Director, said, "Boating under the influence is not only illegal but it is also dangerous. The effects of alcohol can be magnified when boating in the sun and on a moving vessel. Staying sober protects you and those around you." According to the 2024 Recreational Boating Statistics Report, deaths occurred predominantly on vessels operated by individuals who had not received boating safety instruction, accounting for roughly 70% of fatalities. Open motorboats, personal watercraft, and cabin motorboats were the vessel types most involved in reported incidents. You can download the report via the news page of the IIAMS website. In our next report, the MPA Safety Campaign is an annual initiative dedicated to improving the safety of pilot transfer arrangements worldwide. This year's results reveal that observed non-compliance remains high, at 14%, based on over 5,000 reports received in May 2025. This underscores the ongoing need for strict compliance and shared responsibility among all parties involved. The International Maritime Organization has adopted amendments to SOLAS and a new mandatory performance standard to enhance the safety of pilot transfer operations. MPA said this step change to a mandatory regime is the most significant regulatory contribution to the safety of maritime pilots on duty in a generation. The amendments to SOLIS build on existing requirements, recommendations and industry standards, whilst introducing critical changes. For example, pilot ladders and man ropes will now be treated as consumables, to be replaced automatically no later than 36 months after the date of manufacture, and self-certification by manufacturers is no longer an option due to a tighter type approval regime. The new performance standards also align with ISO 799 Parts 1, 2 and 3 in key areas, including the design, arrangement and rigging of trapdoors. In response to a study by NC2 and commissioned by MPA, the new performance standards also require dedicated means of securing pilot ladders at intermediate lengths. Captain Simon Pelletier, president of the International Maritime Pilots Association MPA, said, "Maritime pilots deliver an extremely effective public service. The IMO has taken the most significant step in a generation to make doing that work safer. MPA appreciates the support we have received across member states at IMO, and the outcome is testament to what can be achieved when pilots' organizations around the world work together." MPA Safety Campaign 2024 headlines included a 14% non-compliance rate. There were 5,285 reports. Highest rates of non-compliance was found in Africa with 24% and Oceania with 22%. There was no significant change to historic non-compliance trends. Pilot ladders remain the leading source of non-compliant observations. 10% of non-compliant pilot ladders were not secured to a strong point. And 85% of non-compliant observations were not reported to port state authorities. You can read the report at impahq.org. Next, the UK Marine Accident Investigation Branch has released its annual report for 2024. Last year, the MAIB received 1,515 reports on marine casualties, incidents and started 15 investigations, 7 of which involved loss of life. Overall, the MAIB recorded 1,631 reports of accidents to UK vessels worldwide or any vessels within UK coastal waters during 2024. A total of 1,753 vessels were involved. 3 investigations and 1 preliminary assessment were started into UK fishing vessels flooding, foundering during 2024. Fortunately, none resulted in the loss of life, but the losses to flooding last year indicates how vulnerable many fishing vessels are to water ingress. Most of the UK fishing fleet have little, if any, watertight subdivisions, so any appreciable inflow of water can swiftly overwhelm the onboard pumps. In such circumstances, raising the alarm early and being well practiced in abandonment routines can and does save lives. As worrying as flooding is the number of deaths and serious injuries resulting from occupational accidents. 2 fishing vessel crew died as a result of marine accidents in 2024, the same number as in 2020, with both years being the equal lowest recorded level of fatalities in the last decade. Less positive is that both deaths occurred on well-crewed vessels as a result of unsafe systems of work. Future MAIB investigation reports will likely develop the theme of moving beyond having a risk assessment to the proactive management of risk. You can read the report at iams.org.uk. Up next, the United States Coast Guard has issued a safety alert after an integrated lithium-ion battery bank recently caught fire on board an inspected passenger vessel when loosely crimped lugs overheated. Although no one was injured and the vessel sustained minimal damage, the U.S. Coast Guard has emphasized this casualty highlights safety hazards unique to lithium-ion batteries. All integrated, installations used for propulsion and electrical power, lithium-ion battery systems on inspected vessels must undergo engineering plan review, be fitted with supporting safety systems, be tested and inspected at installation and periodically afterward, and be properly maintained by competent mariners, regardless of the battery bank size or end consumer. Safety considerations include energy density, thermal runaway, fire suppression resistance, toxic off-gases, and battery management. The U.S. Coast Guard has provided design guidance for integrated lithium-ion battery systems, design guidance for lithium-ion battery installations on board commercial vessels, and standard guide for shipboard use of lithium-ion batteries. As lithium-ion battery technology evolves, additional guidance may be released. Read the full safety alert, including the major safety considerations for lithium-ion battery hazards, and owner and operator guidance lithium-ion battery identification at iimsusa.com. For our next story, a new sailing academy has opened in Marina Monfalcone in Italy. At the northernmost tip of the Adriatic Sea, the Red Bull Sailing Academy aims to discover, train and inspire the next generation of elite sailors, foiling and kite surfers. Marina Monfalcon is now the home base for the Red Bull Italy Sail GP team. And now, our final stories focus on appointments of new executives within the maritime industry. First up, the UK Canal and River Trust has announced the appointment of Campbell Robb as its new chief executive. Mr. Robb will join the charity on the 6th of October after 6 years leading the social justice charity NACRO as its chief executive. He is replacing Richard Parry, who joined the trust in 2013, and who has led the organisation through its critical formative years to become an established national charity. Before joining NACRO, Mr. Robb was chief executive of the Joseph Rowntree Foundation and Joseph Rowntree Housing Trust, steering the organisation through a significant change programme. Prior to this, he spent 7 years as chief executive of Shelter, building its ability to support more people than ever before and leading the organisation's response to some of the biggest changes to housing and welfare policy in generations. Next, AkzoNobel is pleased to announce that Frederick Weston will become the company's new chief financial officer as of January 1, 2026. He'll succeed Maarten de Vries, who is completing his second four-year term as CFO and member of the Board of Management, as part of a structured succession process. Frederick has more than 25 years of international experience in the industrial and automotive sectors. Since May 2020, he's been the CFO and Executive Vice President at Autoliv, an automotive safety leader listed in both the US and Europe. Frederick previously held CFO roles at Sandvik Mining and Rock Technology, and at Johnson Controls. Commenting on his appointment, Frederick said, "I'm honored to join AkzoNobel, a great company with a clear strategy. I'm eager to work with Greg and the executive team to accelerate our transformation and help strengthen our performance." And finally, Oyster Yachts has announced the appointment of Stefan Zimmermann Charkey as its new chief executive officer. It comes after Oyster Yachts recently revealed its CEO, Ashley Highfield, would be stepping down from his role in autumn. Stefan, with more than 3 decades of international industry experience, the accomplished engineer, passionate sailor and seasoned manufacturing leader will step into his role in September to guide the company's next phase of growth. His career bridges both engineering and operations leadership, including senior roles at globally renowned brands like Rolls-Royce Power Solutions and Aston Martin, while under Ford ownership. Experience in the marine realm mirrors his passion for life on the water, as he most recently worked on several award-winning yachts at Hansa Yachts AG. A lifelong and competitive sailor, deeply connected to the experience of life at sea, his passions reflect the very essence of the oyster. Stefan said, "Oyster yachts are, to me, the embodiment of a sailing dream, the finest yachts one can own. I look forward to building upon Oyster's strong foundation and leading the company to the top of the global market, through industrial strength, innovation, and a people-driven culture." That's all we have for this month. Thanks for listening.